much more sexy tracks coming up.
Well, good evening and welcome to the NMF podcast with me, Dennis Devlin, in association with BeHeadClothing.co.uk. So, what's coming up tonight? Well, it's the chance for the lads from Three Little Wolves to, I suppose, howl at the moon. In the meantime, here's three songs in a row back-to-back, kicking off with this one.
Seems you set it running free, screaming in the dark. Oh,
sexy tracks coming up.
Of yesterday and today.
Well, there you go. Three songs are all back to back, finishing with a fantastic one from Duran Duran, remastered in 2009, and that's Hungry Like the Wolf. Before that, Florence and the Machine and How, and kicking off the three songs in a row, a classic from CCR and Bad Moon Rising. Yes, there might be a little theme going on here. I'm sure you've figured it out. Coming up next, of course, we talk to Three Little Wolves on the NMF podcast, in association with BeHairClothing.co.uk.
Playing you the greatest hits of all time.
It's sale time at BeHairClothing Glasgow. That's BeHairClothing.co.uk with 50% off all kids' clothing. Just enter promo code KIDS50 at BeHairClothing.co.uk. And remember, let's speak up and be heard. BeHairClothing Glasgow, BeHairClothing.co.uk.
This tempo's way too slow to tell you all there is to know, so I'm going to speed it up. Here we go. When you're holidaying in Rome, but you want it to look like you're at home, Hive Active lights will come on at night to make your living room nice and bright. Or if you left work in a hurry and you're trying to save some money, Hive Active plugs let you turn your appliances off whilst you're having your ear chewed off by your boss. How about you're at a romantic dinner for two and you want to check your kids home by curfew? Hive sensors monitor your front door so they won't be sneaking home late anymore. Whew. Because with Hive, you control your home from your phone, from your lights to your plugs to your sensors. See what else you can control at hivehome.com. Hive products work with Hive Hub. Requires broadband.
Behead Clothing Glasgow. Beheadclothing.co.uk. 50% off kids sale right now. Just go to beheadclothing.co.uk and enter promo code KIDS50 at beheadclothing.co.uk in association with the NMF podcast.
The best songs on the radio. This is my only favourite station.
Oh no! Little Timmy's got hold of a marker pen. My wall looks like a colouring book. What am I going to do?
Flash! Ah! Clears up the impossible. Wow, he's really made a mess. It's a pain, but we won't stress. In the hall, he's drawn overall. On the wall, lots of scrolls, but we can clean this up.
Flash Magical Razor, we love you.
Flash! Ah! Cleans up the impossible.
Playing the hits and your favorites of yesterday and today.
Are you ready?
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, welcome to the podcast with me, Dennis Devon, and a very good evening to the man himself from Three Little Wolves. How are you doing, pal?
Not too bad, Dennis. Nice to be here.
My apologies for being late.
That's no problem. You are this time forgiven.
Thank you very much. I was fashionably late, as they say.
Yeah.
And how are you? How's things been? How are you keeping?
Not too bad, really. Not too bad. It's exciting times at the moment. Writing loads of stuff. I think once you get in that kind of creative space, you just got to keep going, aren't you? So see what comes out the other end.
Absolutely. So far, everything that's coming out is fantastic. I'm loving the garden. Excellent. I probably just played that for you before you came on.
Yeah, thanks very much. Well, it seems to be getting a lot of positive reaction. And the thing people keep saying about it the most is it's different. It's different. And I like different, you know. It's kind of not sounding the same as others is a nice place to be, you know.
Yeah, it's not factory produced, is it? It's not come off a line. You can tell it's personal. You can tell there's a lot going into it as well. You can tell it must, the process behind it, which we'll get to shortly. But I mean, it's a fantastic track. Listen, tell me, you know, how did your musical journey begin? How did you all get to where you are now?
We've all been in various bands kind of for years, really. And I think we kind of got to the point where we were like, real life takes over, doesn't it? You know, your job and commitments and stuff like that. But I think we've all come into the place where we kind of, we're in a position to be able to do this. So, and we've never been in a band, the three of us together. So we thought, you know what, why not just do this? And, you know, the three of us are quite into different sorts of music. And I think that's why it comes together. And again, maybe sounds a bit different.
Yeah, you can tell there's a lot of input from the whole band. Like I said, all the different genres all into one, you know, and I think that makes it unique. So your music is unique, and I like that. I'm with you. If something's different, it's got to be worth listening to, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, difference and populist aren't the same thing, but you know, I'd rather be different than have a swimming pool. A swimming pool would be nice as well, but it's not as important. It's not as important.
I wouldn't want a swimming pool where I live. If I had a swimming pool where I lived, I'd wake up and half the estate would be in it. Wake up with kids just jumping about the pool, a couple of dogs and cats.
be fishing them out.
Wouldn't take much to fish them out around here, honestly. Just a couple of blue lights, a couple of blue lights flashing, they'd be off. So listen, you know, who inspired you to create music? I mean, what's your inspiration? Because I'm waiting for this because I'm excited to hear this.
Well, like I say, we're into different stuff. So Dale, who plays bass, he's into quite gothic music, really, kind of real old school gothic stuff. Billy's quite into, he's our drummer, he's quite into his rock and his heavy metal. That's kind of his background. I just like pretty psychedelic stuff, really, psychedelic indie, like, you know, kind of like current people, bands like Temples. I really like Temples, like older stuff like Flaming Lips. I've really liked all that psychedelia. And I think that's kind of how it comes together, because you know, you don't just want the same, do you? And I think kind of different genres and influences, kind of you throw them all into the melting pot, don't you? And they all mix up to hopefully create something that's quite new.
Yeah, I like the psychedelic stuff myself, and you can hear it, you know, you can hear the music, you know, and it comes across, and I like that, you know. You want to hear something different, but you also want to have that kind of, you know, something that just makes your foot tap as well. It needs to make your foot tap and catch your attention, and, you know, it definitely catches your attention. Now, what's your creative process like? What's it like when you guys get into your studio? What's it like?
Comes from lots of different directions, really, which is great, really. You know, sometimes it just comes from like a jam when you're practicing together, and that feels really organic, doesn't it? You know, you start off playing something and then it goes in a different direction, and, you know, there's a frantic dash to like record it as quick as possible before you forget. And, you know, 10 minutes later, it was like, well, 10 minutes ago, that sounded really good. What were we playing? You know, that sort of thing.
I forgot.
And then sometimes I'll just have an idea, or one of the others will just have an idea. And I suppose, I can know, for me, it's kind of like it might be a riff or a piano line. And I think what I sometimes think is, I don't think I know that song. I don't think I know that song. And you think, you're almost hearing yourself singing something in your head, and you're like, I don't think that song actually exists. And then, again, another mad dash to get it down before you forget it. And then I'll kind of, one of us or the other of us, will bring a bit of a fragment along and say, right, this sounds quite interesting. What can we do with this? So a variety of different directions, really, which I think is quite healthy, because you feel like you're not getting kind of stuck in a rut of songwriting. You know, I'd never kind of, we never sit down and say, right, we need to write some songs today. It just doesn't work like that. And it's like that kind of inspiration, I suppose, is coming from like loads of different directions. And it feels quite healthy that way. You know, I think if you're saying, oh, we're going to sit down and write some songs today, it feels like a bit of a job, you know? Like, kind of almost like the Motown factory, you know, amazing songs from Motown, but it was a job, wasn't it? You know, and I don't want it ever to feel like that. So, yeah, that's kind of how we usually put things together.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want it to be like being at school, do you? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Like that, you're like, no, mate, it doesn't work that way. I need to be in a certain place, you know, and if you're forced into it, you're going to feel it. And if you're forced to do something, or you're forced to write something, it no longer becomes, I don't know, kind of jelly. It becomes almost leather, and you don't want that. You want a nice, you know, a nice mixture.
And I think kind of, you know, without one sound too pretentious about it, you know, a song should be about a feeling, a mood, shouldn't it? And actually,
yeah,
kind of, That bit of lyric or that bit of riff comes from a feeling, doesn't it? And that's what we wanted. We want to act on that feeling. It might be how you feel at a certain moment, something that's going on in your life, and it's producing an emotion, isn't it? And it's like, okay, so let's follow this through. Let's follow this through. We've got this guitar line. We've got this bass line. And then your lyrics kind of, well, for us anyway, your lyrics kind of come afterwards, usually. And it's like, okay, this is the mood of this song. What could it be about? What could it be about that kind of is an interesting theme that kind of fits with the mood of what we've got? So you try and weave that in a little bit too.
Yeah, your emotions become your music, don't they? And then it becomes a story about the emotion. I like that. I know that's really smart. I like that. I'll remember that. I really like that.
You can have that.
That's absolutely brilliant. Yeah, thank you very much. I like that. Right, for those who don't know you, shame on them. If you're listening right now, you don't know who they are. I'm ashamed of you. But the Three Little Wolves, please describe your style of music so they can get a grasp of it.
I would say it's on our bio on Twitter. It says indie rock and stuff.
I think stuff. Describe the stuff.
It's a very Scouse thing, isn't it? We like talking about stuff, and it's kind of it's indie rock. That's the genre I'd probably put it in. But like I say, twinges of psychedelia. We really like the bass and drums really high up. Well, as you've noticed, I suppose high up in the mix. Driving the song along. I'm not really a fan of bass lines that hide in the background. None of us are really. So, you know, good bass and drums is really important to us. And yeah, I'd say a tinge of psychedelia. Our last single, Dark Side, sounds a little bit, it's a bit more trip hop and it's a bit more chilled and it's a bit different. But then The Garden's a bit more, I'd say, rock and quite propulsive. So, you know, yeah, we try to marry the, like I say, different moods in it, really, you know.
Yeah, I like Garden. I mean, what was the process for that? Who came up with that? It's brilliant. Oh, I need to know about the name. Come on, Three Little Wolves. Please tell me this is going to have a fantastic story, because it's been racking my head all day. And I've had, you can imagine, I've got thoughts from my head. Three Little Wolves. What have these guys been up to?
Yeah, well.
And who are the three little piggies?
Do you know what? I would really like to give you stories like that that obviously can't feature on this podcast. But I'll tell you later. It's fine. It's kind of like, you know, that dark fairy tale imagery is quite interesting, isn't it? You know, you've got this kind of Grimm's fairy tales and stuff that's written kind of hundreds of years ago and really dark stuff. And somehow over the years, it's become tales that have been sanitized that we tell to kids. But actually, their roots are quite dark. And I thought that was always quite an interesting concept to explore. And obviously, there's three of us. Wolves are pretty cool. So yeah, it just makes sense. And it seems to be a name that people remember as well, which is good too, you know.
Definitely.
Quite happy with it. We can get a lot of kind of cool sort of wolf imagery and stuff like that on our social media. And yeah, people seem to think wolves are cool, so we're going with it.
Yeah, and the logo you have used, I mean, that's got merch written all over it, hasn't it?
Yeah,
that's got
pure
merchandise written all. I can see T-shirts, hats, gloves. I can see wolves masks for a lot with that logo on it, because it is, who come up with that? That is absolutely mint. I love it.
Yeah, we are pretty happy with that. It's just kind of like, we just thought like a really simple kind of black and white iconography. It's quite striking, isn't it? And like you say, T-shirts and stuff, I think that would really stand out and kind of, we need to get a banner, really, a banner behind us when we play and that sort of thing. Because again, I think it's a band name that people seem to remember. And I think when you've got it tied with a logo like that, it's just a little bit memorable, isn't it? And, you know,
absolutely.
There's loads of amazing artists out there. And I think these days it's great because anybody can put music online, anybody. And that's a really, really good, healthy thing. You know, we shouldn't be squeezing our way through A&R men and all that sort of stuff. But because of that, there's hundreds and thousands of bands. So actually, anything that makes you stand out a little bit, whether it's your name or your logo or your music, it's important to have something, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's got it. And who's the alpha of the pack then? There's a three little wolves. There has to be an alpha.
they would both say, I've got the ego, definitely. But I think as the lead singer, you've just got to, haven't you? You know, but like, yeah. We've been kind of mates for years and they know how to keep that in check. So it's all fine. It's all fine.
So which one of you was chasing Little Red Riding Hood?
Well, yeah, our kind of extracurricular dealings are, yeah. I'll leave that to speculation.
But I'll keep an eye out for Little Red Riding Hood. If I know she's got any band merch on, I'll know.
Branded, yeah.
Guys, I mean, where's the most interesting venue you've performed at? And why was it interesting? Or where's the best? Ooh, why was it the best?
Good question. we did, and I mean, I love festivals. I love festivals in all ways, really, kind of like both as a fan and to play. You know, your grimy little pubs in the evening are great, and there's a certain charm about that. But there's nothing quite like a festival in the sunshine. That was amazing. Well, they just are amazing. So we played Victoria Square, which is one of the squares in Birmingham, and like middle of the summer, and that was just beautiful. And you know, I think it doesn't really get much better than playing in a band with your mates, playing your own music in the sunshine. That is just it. Life doesn't get any better than that. So certainly that festival we played in Victoria Square, but just festivals in general are just, yeah, they're just wonderful, life affirming things, aren't they?
If I could have a festival anywhere, I'd have it in the Can of Chase. I really would. Honestly, the Can of Chase, I'd have it down there. I just have a massive gig out there in the forest, man. Just like, let's do it, you know, just get hundreds of bands into the Can of Chase and then just party all night.
Yeah, they do have gigs in Can of Chase, and it's just
goody,
aye. Yeah, and actually, fascinating fact: the picture that we've got on the front of the garden, which is it's like a tree with like a blue sky background, and it looks. Yeah. And kind of almost like pampas grass. Looks a bit like South Africa. We took that in Can of Chase. So there you
really?
Go. Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. It looks so exotic, but actually, it was 5 miles down the road where we took that.
You know what? I used to bounce about there in Rugeley and that. I used to love a little place called Rugeley just up the road. I used to love. Yeah. Yeah, man, I love that album cover. You see, I actually thought it was South Africa. If I'm honest, I thought that looks like South Africa or something.
I mean, it was a rare nice day in the West Midlands, so we had to take full opportunity while it was a blue sky.
Oh wow. I bet you've been waiting a long time to say it was a lovely day in the West Midlands.
That is a sentence that doesn't get used very often, but
yeah.
Pleased to be able to.
Big up the West Midlands, I'm loving that. Yeah, respect to Canuck. So, Canuck Chase, congratulations. You're our hero of the day. Guys, if you could open a show for anyone, who would you like to open for?
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, kind of.
Alive or dead, doesn't matter. You know, anybody you want.
I was going to say, I'm just being really selfish here and just picking my choices, but hey.
You're the one on, so you go for it.
New bands. I really like the Heavy North. If you know the Heavy North, they're amazing.
Yeah, brilliant. Amazing.
They're Scousers, so I'm biased, but they are amazing. Moonlight Parade are amazing too. Classic bands. I mean, like, I would have to say the Beatles, wouldn't I? You know, lack of idea. I'd have to say the Beatles. I mean, my favourite band, a Radiohead. I just think they're spectacular. So, opening for Radiohead would be pretty special. I think they get you to feel like other people cannot get you to feel. It goes back to what I'm saying about a feeling, I suppose.
And you'd want an audience that's not just going to love their music, they're going to enjoy and understand your music as well. So I think you and Radiohead would go fine together. You know, I think the audience would straight away, you know, they'd be like, boom. As soon as Radiohead come on, they'd already have that feeling. You'd have lined them right up, you know, because your music's proper festival music, but when it is proper festival music.
Oh, thanks very much, man. Thanks very much.
Well, man, it's cool, man. I love it.
If you know Radiohead at all, just feel free to get in touch with them, yeah?
I'll give them a phone.
I'm sure you've got them on speed dial. I'm sure it's fine.
So, I mean, where would be your dream arena or dream festival to headline? What would be your dream sort of place to headline?
Dream festival's got to be Glastonbury, hasn't it? It's just got
to be. Oh, it had to be, hasn't it?
It's as Mr. Kellogg said, the original and best, isn't it? It's just the original and best. You know, you've got your Coachella and your Benachism and all these places, but it's got to be Glastonbury. That's kind of where it all began, isn't it? You know?
Aye. And you want it, I wouldn't want it on a sunny day. Do you know, if I was a musician and I'd want it on a pissing, bogging day, pouring down in it, because that's when you have the most fun, isn't it? That's when festivals come alive, when it's all muddy, and that's what, you know, you go there expecting it anyway, so you're prepared for it, and you all just come together. You know, I just think if it's pouring down, everyone's going to have a great time, your music's going to get them going, you know, it's just the response you would get off the audience would be amazing.
I remember going to a festival as a fan and just like being completely underprepared and just basically having a pair of very flimsy trainers on. And within about 5 minutes, my feet were wet and they were then wet for about 7 to 2 hours. And I just thought, shrug your shoulders and just crack on, you know, maybe a bit
nowadays, of the pain. Exactly. Nowadays, when you book a festival ticket, it should come with a Bear Grylls video.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. But you never know what you're going to get, and that's the good thing, isn't it?
So have you guys got any plans to tour? And if so, where can we catch up with you guys? Where can we see you guys in the future?
Well, like I said earlier on, really, we seem to be on a real kind of songwriting drive at the moment, which is great. You know, kind of, I'd say probably in the last couple of months we've written about 6 or 7 songs, and I think that's a momentum that we really want to keep going, because I think we will have an album pretty soon, which is great. And then we'll kind of we'll practice it and we'll tour it, basically. So probably looking towards the autumn, I would have thought, because everything's just coming thick and fast at the moment. And much as, do you know, we're straining at the least to do gigs because it's been so long, and it's been so long for everybody. And I can see people, which is, again, brilliant, all these bands cracking on, doing gigs and putting on Twitter, I did my first gig for a year, and that's brilliant, and we're dying to do that. But I don't want to put the brakes on the stuff that we're writing, because I think, you know, it's not in my nature to be very patient, but I think we need to be, because I think we've got a real, hopefully a real good kind of body of work that we can take out in the autumn. So that's the plan, really, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously, I was going to ask you next, what can we expect from you in the future? And have you got any plans to collaborate with any other bands?
I think, again, that's the good thing about Twitter, isn't it? Because, you know, just social media generally, you know, it's like the relationships that we've built up on there already, because it allows you to be quite personal, doesn't it? You know, as a band, you connect with your people that like your music, and reviewers and podcasters. And, you know, it's easy. It's also really easy to connect with other bands as well, you know, and then you meet and you make connections with other people and you think, we're the same sort of people. We like the same sort of stuff. And actually, maybe we could do something. So, you know, if we were to tour, there's people that I would want to tour with, partly because we're musically similar, but partly because you just make a connection with people, don't you? And
yeah.
You know, people talk about, like, the toxicity of social media. But I think it depends who you choose to surround yourself with, doesn't it? You know, if you feel like that in real life, you need to get better friends, basically. And if you feel like that on social media, you need to get better friends. And how easy is it just to cut those people out? So, you know, and we get nothing but love, I suppose, love and support from places like Twitter, Instagram, and it's just a really nice place to be.
How have family and friends been with you? Are they supportive?
Good question. My family keep my head on the ground, most definitely, which I think is good. I think it's good. And I kind of, a mixture of supportive and dismissive when needs be. As families are, you know, it's like, okay, his head's getting a little bit too big now. Let's get the pin out and just let give it a little pop. And I think that's good, isn't it? You know, that's what you want, isn't it, from your parents and your family. Friends, yeah, great. Really kind of, really supportive. And it's kind of, I think you find out, I mean, we've had loads of good stuff, but then if you've got a friend that's not happy for you, again, maybe you need to get better friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's a good way to put it. Exactly. If they're not what you need, say goodbye and move on and find you.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of the phrase, always pay attention to the people who don't clap when you win. It's quite interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, maybe you're not the person I thought you were. Not that that's happened, but it's just a point to make, isn't it?
I always say it's like circles, you know, choose your circles wisely. You know, your circle can be small, your circle can be big, but those that are inside it should be important.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The people that will have your back no matter what, And yeah, we're very blessed with that. We're very blessed with that. So yeah, all good. But yeah, knock us back when we need to, really.
See, if you guys could collaborate with any band or musician past or present, who would you collaborate and why?
Okay.
Harsh, isn't it?
I won't say Radiohead again. I'll pick somebody else. I really like Jimi Hendrix. Well, he's just an utter legend, isn't he? You know, and I think
yeah.
If Jimi Hendrix would lower himself to our little level to collaborate with us, then that would be something else. And do you know what?
Could you imagine that?
I'd allow him to play guitar as well. That's fine.
Two years jamming together, you know what I mean? Could you imagine jamming with Jimmy?
Yeah.
Oh, man. So who's the joke? Man, there's always one that'll write, if you fall asleep, he'll draw a cock and balls on your head or something. Which one is the joke on your back?
Yeah, I think probably, I hate to say, I think that will be me, but I think that will be me. I've got a little bit of mischief, and I kind of, my usual tack is, if I'm doing something that's annoying somebody, I will continue to do it. I will continue to do it until they want me to stop. So yeah. I'm saying something that people find irritating, then I will say that pretty much forever. So I think that the other lads would definitely agree that that was true.
Now you know what they're going to do now, don't you? They're going to listen to this and they go, "See, when he falls asleep, we'll all draw a cock and balls on his head and irritate him."
Revenge. Yeah. I'm expecting the revenge is constantly around the corner, to be honest.
There must be. I know. It's like, they'll be sitting there constantly where you're up writing something, doing there all behind talking. You're like, they're planning something like that. It's coming. I can feel it. it's like another episode of Star Wars here building.
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What's the best advice you've ever been given? By whom?
I think my mom has always said to me, don't ever be ashamed of the person that you are and be proud of the person.
Thank you, mom.
And that can sound really trite, but actually it's the best advice that anybody can be given, can't it? You know,
you've
got to live and breathe within your own skin for a hell of a long time, 70, 80 years, whatever. So, you know, you've got to be comfortable with the person that's in that skin. And that's kind of the again, without wanting to sound pretentious, that's the key to happiness, isn't it? Being comfortable and happy with the person that you are. And kind of, you know, I'll never forget that. And I always try to live my life like that. You know, we all make mistakes. Everybody does, don't they? But, you know, you've got to own those things, haven't you?
You're going to love the next question.
I sense I'm leading myself down a path here.
You have no idea you're going to love this one. Well, look, on the verge of honesty and confessions, if, considering you're in the presence of me, if you could confess to anything, given that I will decide whether you're forgiven or not, would you like to confess, and why should I bless this and forgive you?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. This is your chance. This is your chance to, you know, I had a guy on who was stealing cookies off his sister. But worse still, she left the cookie and he ate 3/4 of it and felt bad and put it back as if that was... I mean, how can I forgive him? If he'd eaten the whole lot, I'd have forgiven, but I can't forgive him for that.
Okay. One has come to mind, and actually this has been kind of a secret between me and this person for a couple of months. So, like, my... quite funny. My day job, I work in a school, yeah? Work in a school with this other guy, we're good mates and all that sort of stuff. He's got like toys for the kids in his room and teddy bears and stuff like that. Just kind of, I don't know, when they need help and support, that's where they go. That's his job. So when he's not in his room, what I have been doing for about 3 or 4 months is getting the teddy bears out of the box, and he's got board games and rearranging them so they look like they're playing board games, and then just leaving. And actually, he has no idea who it is who's doing it. So he comes into his room, and these teddy bears are playing Snap, Downfall, whatever, man, whatever I can get my hands on in the couple of seconds it takes for me to get out of it. So basically, that's been driving him insane. And he's been having conversations with me about it, saying, I think it might be this person. I think it might be this person. And I'm like, yeah, it could be, you know. It could be. That sounds terrible. I can't believe they're doing that to you, mate. It must be really messing with you a little bit. Well, I've also been the sympathetic friend. So I suppose I'd like to take this opportunity to confess that it has been me all along. So there you go. How's that?
Rearranging the teddies, right? I'm thinking, well, that's all right. You know, I can imagine that's playing in his mind. But the sympathetic friend who's standing there going, do you know, mate, I understand. You know, it's terrible, isn't it? And all along, it's you. Can I forgive this? Can I? Oh, goodness. Oh, do you know what? I think you are blessed and you are forgiven, and you must play three tracks of your choice at any time tonight, and that's your penance. Okay, I forgive you, and you can move on with this now.
That means so much. I feel I've got a resolution, and everything's now going to be okay.
But you have to play three terrible tracks. That's your three. I don't care if it's Pink and Lily Savage. You have to play three tracks to yourself, and that's your penance. I think you have deserved that. And
I
can't believe you stood there and looked him in the eye.
Oh, yeah. Oh, several times. And I've thought, do you know what? I can't laugh, because if I laugh, that is the end of my fun. So, you know, but unfortunately, this is now the end of my fun. But yeah, I will do as you say.
You are forgiven. I wish you'll move on, and you are forgiven for that. You can forget and release that from your conscience now. Okay, you're forgiven.
It's like a weight's being lifted.
Is there anybody out there right now who you'd like to thank? This is your chance to say thank you to and name drop a few of the people that have worked hard in the background for you and have helped you. This is their chance, and you, if they've got anything that, you know, might help photography, anything like that, this is your chance to say thank you.
Yeah, okay. So without one sound like an Oscar winner, we'd like to thank our friends and family.
Go on.
Yeah, we would like to thank our friends and family. And actually, you know, the biggest support has been the people on Twitter, because really, that without them, nobody would hear our music. So actually, all of the bands that have connected with us, everybody that's ever liked, retweeted, listened, said nice things, you know, the kind of the overwhelming positive messages that we've got have just been exactly that, you know, completely overwhelming. And it gives you the inspiration to keep going, doesn't it? It makes you think, you know, people like this stuff, so let's keep doing it. So, and I know that doesn't seem like I'm singling out an individual, but it's kind of that means everything, really. And like I say, everybody who's ever clicked on our link, played something on a streaming service, liked something we've said, commented in a positive way, I just wanted to thank everybody, really, because without you, then nobody would ever hear any of this stuff.
Yes, that I think is brilliant. I like that. That is excellent. So to everybody out there, the thanks are all yours. That's brilliant, that. Right, if you were trapped in an elevator, so you've been on a gig, right? Imagine you're in Vegas or something, right? It's been one of them mental gigs, right? And you've just gone upstairs to get changed. The lads are all waiting for you down at the bar. And you're coming down and the elevator jams. Who would you least want to be stuck in an elevator with, and why?
Whoa, okay. I mean, the clear choice for me, obvious though it may seem, would have to be Donald Trump, wouldn't it? It would have to be Donald Trump. I think the points of reference and communication that me and he would have are utterly non-existent. Utterly non-existent. Really, I think all it would take is a couple of minutes of polite chit chat for me to be restraining every bone in my body for taking violent action. So there you go. I think, like, obviously, I don't think there is anyone else on planet Earth that is more different to me than that. So there you go.
So he would take you from not to life imprisonment in about 3 seconds.
Oh yeah, well, without. I mean, that's quite a conservative estimate, to be honest with you. But yeah, certainly around the right ballpark.
You'd start feeling like Bruce Willis trying to find a tunnel to get out of.
Yeah,
get me out of here.
Definitely. And actually, yeah, death by plummeting to the floor in the lift would seem like a very attractive option very quickly. And I'd probably be sitting there thinking, I really hope this cable breaks right now.
Please, no, end it.
Yeah.
I think I'd probably want to pull my teeth out, and because it's got to be less painful than listening to him. It'd have to be, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Anything really to distract from the white noise that was going on. Anything at all. Any sort of self-harm would be quite welcome.
But I'd also want to throw water on him just to see if he melted. I'd have to do that. I'd have to sort of see if he's like the Wicked Witch and throw water on him and just like melts away. Then I'd nick his hat off him and piss in his hat. I've always wanted to piss in one of them red hats. I don't know why. So there you go, guys of the world. You know, Dennis's thing is, for some reason, he wants to piss in a red Trump hat. I don't know why.
See, that's a little known fact. I bet you never thought you'd come out with that today as well.
I just realised that it's been sitting bugging me. There you go.
A sunny day in the West Midlands, I'm pissing in a hat. There you go. You don't know where those things could go, do you?
It's amazing when these podcasts can go, honestly. Like, someone goes to strange places. I've sat there thinking, why am I doing this? Listen, how do you feel the music industry treats you? How do you feel the music industry just now treats bands? If you could change anything, what would you change?
Do you know, I was watching an interview by Noel Gallagher a couple of days ago, and he was kind of like, from his position, obviously, making the point of, if you, he said, record labels used to work for bands. Bands now work for record labels. And I thought that was really interesting. Pretty cynical, but he's like, do you know what? Basically, you dance to their tune these days, and that's how it's changed. And that's just wrong, man. That is just wrong on so many levels. I mean, I think the pluses are, like I said earlier, anyone can put out anything at any time, which is brilliant. You know, we've had those years hawking our CDs around pubs, A&R, all of that sort of stuff, trying to speak to the right person who knows the right person and all that just garbage. But actually, the good thing is you just shove it up there and the public decide. Now, that's really, really healthy. That's great. But on the other side, you know, if the record labels are controlling the artists, then something's gone a bit wrong along the way there, hasn't it? You know, and that's got to change. And if we've got all this kind of freedom and creativity about getting our music out there, there's a blocker in the middle, isn't there? You know, I think
absolutely.
I was talking to Billy actually just before the interview, and I said, do you know how much you make for 1 million streams on Spotify? $3,000. Yeah. $3,000. And, you know, that's what we're living in. You know, you've got the bonus of anyone being able to hear your stuff, but actually, you're not going to make a job out of it unless you're incredibly successful. So, you know, there's no kind of in-between like there used to be, where people could sell albums and that was okay and that would keep them going, because that just doesn't in the same way exist anymore. So I suppose what I'm saying in a nutshell, in a very rambling way, is kind of the good stuff is people can hear your stuff very accessibly. The bad stuff is it's not easy to make a career out of it, because the only money really is in touring, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you get to sign with a major label, they're calling the shots, not you. And so there's a bit of a power imbalance there. And somewhere along the way, it's got lost. It's come, capitalism's taken over, and it's just become another way of making money. So that's pretty idealistic, but that's what I would change.
Yeah, it takes you back to think. If you think, go back to the Pink Floyd album, Wish You Were Here, and Welcome to the Machine, you know, that's exactly what they're talking about. The machine taking over and controlling everything, you know, and taking away their music.
And if you know, if you're a boy band, then fair enough. You know what you're signing up for. If they tell you,
we don't say boy band. We don't.
Yeah, but like, if you are, then that's what you're signing up for, because you are basically a product. They'll tell you to dress a certain way, dance a certain way, have certain relationships or not have certain relationships. You've basically sold your soul to those people. But if you're making your own stuff as an artist or a band and you've got the creative control, then actually, why can't you have control over all the other areas? You know, they're two different things, aren't they?
Yeah, I would agree. And I was just going to move on to obviously social media. You know, obviously, we were talking about it earlier on, is it a good or bad thing? And, you know, what would you improve about social media and how has it impacted your band?
Hugely. It's the major driving force behind us getting some recognition, basically. You know, being able to, well, I was saying earlier, wasn't I, about you can have these really personal connections with people and there's no wall, is there? There's no wall between artist and fan. There's no wall between artist and promoter, artist and record station, artist and podcaster. There's no walls there anymore. You know, you can just literally, you message somebody, you send them a track, they really like it, and then you just kind of like something really nice grows out of that. And, you know, you're building that relationship without it being kind of, without it being manufactured by somebody else. And all this bollocks of my people will call your people and all that sort of stuff. And there's someone in the middle who doesn't really care about music, who just wants to do deals. That's gone. And actually, I think kind of social media has dissolved those boundaries. And it feels more organic. It feels more authentic, you know. So when you
absolutely
good feedback from people, they've got no reason to give you good feedback. They either like it or they don't they? You know,
that's it. And you're open to it, aren't you?
Or a guy who's got his own kind of, well, podcast or streaming internet radio station, they've got no kind of financial reason to like your stuff. They like it because they like it. And you know, if that feels really authentic, and I think that's a quite a beautiful thing about social media. And, you know, certainly that community, that kind of indie community out there on Twitter is just kind of one of the most kind of wonderful communities I've ever been part of, to be honest. And long may it continue. Well, it will continue and only get better and better.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I feel terrible. I mean, people send me music all the time and I feel really privileged. I get really honoured there. And I feel really terrible if I don't get back to them, you know, because every single person sends me a track, I want to talk to them. I think it's only fair, you know. There's just so much. I have such a wide genre. I love all kind of music. What I like is a song that catches me and I know that the work's going into it. I like to think that I'm listening to a piece of music that's not put on a computer. I know that some guys are sweaty together. They've had to go into a studio. And when I hear it, I know that that's their music. I'm hearing their music, not somebody else's, not a machine's. I'm listening to a group of guys or a group of women or a mixed band that have worked hard, and I want to get them on. I want to appreciate it and enjoy it, and I want to talk to you guys and let everyone who listens to my podcast hear your story.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, it's the blood, sweat and tears aspect as well, you know. It's like kind of that those people have poured their souls into that, and like in terms of expose their souls, but also put their heart and soul into making that sound as good as they can and making that kind of convey the mood or message that they want to convey. And actually, you know, yeah, you can write a song in a couple of minutes, but actually to come up with a finished piece of art that actually conveys exactly what you want to convey, there's a lot of love goes into that. It's appreciated when, like I say, that's reflected back and people, you know, you can't be pretentious enough to think everybody's going to like your stuff. Some people don't because it's just not their thing, and that's absolutely fine. But when somebody is kind of like really likes it, and I think the other interesting thing about that is when everybody interprets it in their own way too, and then it's kind of, it's not yours anymore, it's somebody else's. So, you know, you can be talking to people and they're like, well, actually, I interpreted your song in this way. And you think, well, that wasn't how we wrote it, but so what? You know, that's quite a beautiful thing, isn't it, really? Kind of, because once you've set it free,
it's kind of not yours anymore. It's not yours anymore. It kind of, it's everybody's to interpret how they want, depending on kind of, I don't know, what's going on in their lives at that time, or like maybe they're kind of, they're driving along a motorway or through some beautiful scenery, and then that becomes the song they associate with that moment.
Yeah.
That's quite a special thing, isn't it? Because that's one of the best things about music, isn't it? You know, it's almost like a little time capsule of memories. You know, I'll go away and listen to some stuff in my car tomorrow, and it'll take me back to a million different places. And I think that's a amazing thing as well, really.
Yeah, music equals emotion, equals memory, equals soul. You know, it's every single song is interpreted different by every other person, and that's, you know, that's what makes it unique. You know, I always ask this little question at the end, and it's, you know, it's a bit of an unfair one, but I say CD, digital, or vinyl?
Okay, well, clearly vinyl, but...
Yes!
I think it's fun to answer, to be honest. Clearly vinyl, however, technological advances have unfortunately necessitized digital. CD's a bit of a weird one in a way. I saw somebody who was kind of trying to relaunch a company that just manufactured CDs, and I'm like, do you know what, for me, that's a neither one thing nor another thing, is it? You know, it doesn't have the quality of vinyl, and it doesn't have the accessibility of an MP3, does it? So, you know, personally, I think that's a bit of a dead duck in the middle. But, you know, if you're going to have a proper listening experience, of course it's got to be a vinyl record. And I think there's a massive resurgence in that for that reason. You know, when people are missing out. Well, okay, so with CDs and tapes and vinyl, there was a physical product. And I know people can get a little bit pretentious about that, but it's not just the record itself, is it? It's everything that went with it. You know, so me kind of growing up, bought CDs and tapes and records. And it's a experience, isn't it? It's a bit of art within itself. So you've got all this wonderful artwork, lyric sheets, all that sort of stuff, and kind of, you know, going into a record shop and buying something like that feels quite special in a way that streaming something from Spotify doesn't, you know.
So
it's not just about the physical sound. It's about that whole kind of like the thing as a rounded experience that's not just about the music that you listen to. Because, of course, when you're listening to it, you're looking at the artwork, you're leafing through the tracks, you're looking through the lyrics, and it's more immersive, isn't it? So,
absolutely. Yeah. I love it. I mean, I get sent, usually when a lot of the bands will send me a CD and they'll sign it and all that. And I love it because I get to, not just, I get to see the CD and I get to look at the artwork and, you know, a lot of the artwork's really intense. I mean, I very rarely play the CD because I just don't want to play. I want to keep it forever, you know, I'll frame most of them. You know, I got a beautiful one from Stuart Wolford in which, you know, it was an amazing, I just thought, oh my God, this is an unbelievable CD. This cover's beautiful. You know, it looked like something from when CDs first came out where you got the little booklets and all that. And I thought, I'm never touching this. This is going to stay forever. And, you know, I like that. And it's also, it's like mini vinyl, but vinyl just takes me to a place when I'm younger, you know, and there's something about coming in, sticking on a vinyl and just, you know, and it's so much you can listen to it, and you hear everything.
Yeah, absolutely you do. Absolutely you do. And I think even for like the young generation, they get that as well, and they're starting to get that. You know, I don't think vinyl's necessarily bought by guys in their 40s and 50s and 60s just because it makes them feel nostalgic. You know, there's a lot of young people that are actively out there buying vinyl because, well, for the same reasons that we fell in love with it in the first place, you know, I've kind of said, and it's quite nice that it's made a resurgence and will continue to be popular, I think, for that reason.
Yeah, expensive but popular, absolutely.
Yeah, <that's, laughs> isn't it?
Yeah, I know, it's terrible. Well, look, it's been an absolute pleasure. I've really enjoyed chatting to you, and I'm so glad you reached out to us because I feel blessed, you know, to have guys like you on, and I really, really enjoyed your music. And I would like you, if that's okay, to introduce your latest single.
Yeah, fantastic, I will. Okay, so this is our new song called The Garden. It's about the Garden of Eden. We've always been quite interested by that idea of temptation, that kind of biblical idea of being drawn towards something, but knowing it's probably not very good for you and being pulled back in. So, yeah, it's called The Garden. So enjoy.
I'm Dennis Delm. This is the Animeth Podcast, and this is The Garden.
Playing the hits and your favorites of yesterday and today.
We'll be right back.
more sexy tracks coming up.
Clothing.co.uk. 50% off kids sale right now. Just go to beheadclothing.co.uk and enter promo code KIDS50 at beheadclothing.co.uk in association with the NMF podcast.
Oh no! Little Timmy's got hold of a marker pen. My wall looks like a colouring book. What am I going to do?
Flash! Ah! Cleans up the impossible. Wow, he's really made a mess. It's a pain, but we won't stress. In the hall, he's drawn overall. On the wall, lots of scrolls, but we can clean this up.
Flash Magic Eraser, we love you.
Flash! Ah! Cleans up the impossible.
It's sale time at Behead Clothing Glasgow. That's beheadclothing.co.uk with 50% off all kids' clothing. Just enter promo code KIDS50 at beheadclothing.co.uk. And remember, let's speak up and be heard. Behead Clothing Glasgow, beheadclothing.co.uk.
Playing the hits and your favourites of yesterday and today.
Well, how about that? Three brand new songs in a row, back to back on the NMF podcast, in association with BeHeardClothing.co.uk. The amazing Megan Wynn and Polaroid, which of course is available right now on Spotify. And before that, you heard the very latest from Arctic Lights and Wonderlust, which is available on Bandcamp, etc. from Friday the 4th of June. So if you fancy a little bit of Wonderlust, that's Friday the 4th of June. Get your hands on that. And of course, kicking it all off, The Garden from the lads of Three Little Wolves, who kicked off our three songs in a row back to back, and that of course is also available right now. I'm Dennis Dale, and this has been the NMF podcast. I bid you farewell.
Playing the hits and your favourites of yesterday and today.
Be Heard Clothing Glasgow. BeHeardClothing.co.uk. 50% of kids sale right now. Just go to BeHeardClothing.co.uk and enter promo code KIDS50 at BeHeardClothing.co.uk in association with the NMF podcast.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.